welcome to another installment of Las Vegas Sun's Political Roundtable. I'm Las Vegas Sun reporter Joe Shanum, and today we have a special show because we bring in two high-profile local politicians, Clark County Commissioners Tom Collins and Steve Sisolak. The two are usually at each other's throats, but today there's a truce. They decided to come in and talk about the issues of the day without doing much, except Tom's going to be spitting into a giant spittoon he brought in here. So let's just get right into it. We're going to talk about a few issues. The Electric Daisy Carnival, which Tom celebrated today. The mega plans for the $6 billion solar panel factory and solar farm down in Laughlin. And then we'll see where that all takes us. So for Tom, first of all, you came to the commission today. You had a Hawaiian shirt on and sunglasses. What was that all about?
Well, Chris Bell at Las Vegas Motor Speedway called me a few months ago, and he says, hey, these guys want to come to town and do this thing. And I had no idea what they were, and he explained it to him. I says, bring them on. They're going to bring some money. Let's do that. It's a great idea. And so we worked through the obstacles of the county, you know, the bureaucracy of getting permits and licenses and everything. I think Las Vegas Motor Speedway actually helped co-sponsor the event to expedite some of the process at the county. Got the sheriff on board, got Metro, got Dr. Carrison. It ran beautifully. Those were the brightest, nicest, kindest, polite young people. It's like, you know, at Steve and I's age, you know, it's like being back in the hippie days again, where everybody was just smiling and putting flowers in their hair.
You know why that was, of course, right? Back in the hippie days, why they're all high. I'm not saying the same thing at the Electric Daisy Carnival, but there is I've never tried this stuff. But
you're not old enough to know that, Joe. Were you there?
Everybody on this drug, what's it called? Ecstasy, what do the kids call it? I guess it makes you real happy and nice. Anyways, that doesn't take away from the fact that they were happy and nice. So you also mentioned today that some casino owner, can you say who it was, said they were like the best-looking people he'd ever seen?
It was the most beautiful people he'd ever seen in 25 years in Las Vegas. They were at his swimming pool. And he was just very impressed with them. And no, I was at a private meeting, so I won't disclose.
Was that all because they're under 25, do you think?
No, just because this man knows what beautiful people look like.
Now, what would have happened? The worry beforehand was, you know, somebody died at the EDC in L.A. last year, and then this year, a couple weeks beforehand in Miami. Do you think you'd be this jovial? Well, actually, Steve had brought that up about a month ago. What if somebody had died at this thing? There were several people transported to the hospital.
There were less people transported from the Electric Daisy Carnival than were transported at the last NASCAR. There was Dr. Carrison, we had like a mini hospital set up there helping people get replenished with fluids. It was a outstanding facility. They had, you know, like Circus Soleil folks doing a lot of stunts and things and the disc jockeys. Las Vegas, Clark County, we're the entertainment capital of the world, and we can do anything. To have 250,000 people at the Speedway is a walk in the park for the people that we have in this community that know how to deal with folks. When we get 300,000 on the Strip, or the many large events that we have throughout Southern Nevada, you know, whether it's the shows at the convention centers, you know, the Condex or whatever, all of those kind of events where we handle hundreds of thousands of people on many multiple weekends throughout the year here in Southern Nevada, it's because that's why we're number one. We know how to handle them.
So, Steve, have you changed your mind? Do you think it's the best thing since sliced bread?
Well, I think it was a great event. Obviously, it brought a lot of people to Clark County. It raised some revenue, created some revenue here in Clark County. I think it shows that we did our due diligence. We did a lot of planning. I mean, the medical facilities were second to none. I mean, Dr. Kirsten set up basically a mobile hospital and had ambulances there. Metro did an outstanding job. I think part of this is because they realized the problems that they had in Anaheim 2 weeks before. They had problems in Dallas where two people died. We did get a little bit of a break where the heat wasn't quite as intense as it is out there today, thank goodness. They had watering stations that were brought in that they didn't have in some of these other jurisdictions. They did more in terms of keeping underage kids out of the facility. So I'm happy that there were no problems, obviously. And I think it's a testament to the fact that Las Vegas can certainly throw a party, whether it's New Year's Eve, whether it's, you know, the Electric Daisy Carnival, whether it's NFR, whether it's, you know, whatever the event might be. Las Vegas knows how to put on a party, and everything came together and made this work. And I think part of the reason, or a good part of the reason, is because so many precautions were taken up front, Joe, and that eliminated or at least reduced the potential of a problem.
I said Miami before. I meant Dallas.
is there he said Anaheim. He meant L.A.
Okay. Is there Have any figures come out yet as to, you talked about the economic benefit of this thing. I mean, give me an idea.
Within the week after the event, I saw several casino owners / executives that were just grinning ear to ear. They had some of them tripled and quadrupled their room rates, and they were sold out.
Because these were supposed to be a sort of like a bunch of hippie beatniks, you know, yeah. Packing 30, 40 to a room, sleeping on top of each other.
Yeah, like the old days.
Right.
And so some of them did climb in the rooms that way. And, you know, they probably didn't play as much on the tables or machines. But they were well-mannered at the resorts and the hotels they stayed at. Obviously, they bought a lot of transportation tickets, whether it was bus or airplane. They bought a lot of rooms. They bought a lot of meals and food. They bought a lot of fuel for their cars to drive home. And kids come from all over the world for this thing. And now Las Vegas is out there that now we have the best rave in the world now. I mean, yeah. We stepped right up there with what Europe's done over there for two or three of these that those guys have done over there. We stepped right up to that. We're at that level already. We just went to the top.
What are you going to show up next year?
Yeah, I was there about an hour and a half this time, and I'm going to be more prepared next time.
Who's your favorite band?
I had a little trouble deciphering that, but I think we're going to have more variety next year.
What, are they going to bring in the Steve Miller Band or some honky talk?
George Strait, maybe, huh?
Right. let's move on a little bit to an issue that's down in Steve's district, and that is this enormous announcement of a potentially $4 to $6 billion in development in the Laughlin area. Well, right. Actually, it's in Laughlin. Somebody from Laughlin called me and said it's not outside of Laughlin. It's actually within their limits. And it's a Chinese company, ENN. I'm not sure the entire name.
ENN Solar, right.
ENN Solar.
ENN Energy Company.
And today you actually talked a little bit about that during the commission meeting, about it seemed like there was a little tussle over appraisals for the property. I know it's part of the normal process. I was thinking, you know, hell, why not just give them the land and let them build it? It's going to be such a huge boon. Do you ever think that yourself?
Well, no, we're not going to give them the land. I mean, we have to protect the county, you know, the assets, the taxpayer assets, which land is one of them. One of the tussles that we had is not to get an appraisal, is how quickly can we get an appraisal? And we're getting two appraisals, and the buyer is getting two appraisals, and see how far apart they come, and hopefully they'll be close together. My biggest concern is how long it's taking to get the appraisals. I'd rather get them in 3 weeks than get them in 6 weeks. It's not just the money that we spend for the property. I mean, you're looking at bringing the infrastructure out to the property, Joe. I mean, 5,000 acres could very well approach or exceed $100 million to bring the infrastructure out there, both for the water, the sewer, the electric, more roads, bring everything out there. A good portion of the money that's going to be paid for the property will have to go to subsidize bringing out some of that infrastructure. And then the county will retain the title to 4,000 acres immediately adjacent to this that will increase the value of that land. But we need to get the infrastructure out there. My biggest obstacle in this entire project, and we work on it in my office on a daily basis and with staff, is getting it done as quickly as possible. I can't stress enough, and I know Tom feels the same way. We don't agree on everything, but we agree that we got to create some jobs, and this is going to create an awful lot of jobs. We've got far, far too many people out of work, and this is going to create, I'm talking possibly 4,000 construction jobs and 2,000 permanent jobs. You're building a manufacturing facility to actually make these panels, which will be 2,000 permanent jobs that are good-paying jobs. So it's an exciting opportunity for Laughlin.
Are they? I've gotten some emails and things like that from people, or I just read comments when I've written stories about this. People are saying they'll believe it when they see it. That's kind of my question to you once in a while is, do you think this is real? There have been so many pie-in-the-sky things coming
well,
to this town.
And you have asked me that on numerous occasions. I can tell you that I've had, in my 3 years here, maybe a dozen and a half, two dozen solar wind farm companies come through my office, one of which got partway along we're working on in Searchlight. I mean, that's the closest we've come. This is by far the most organized, I mean, ready company of all the ones that came. They scouted out the entire southwest part of the United States. They don't have to find financing. They already have financing for the project. They want it expedited as quickly as I want it expedited. So thus far, they're the real deal. You know, now time will tell as, you know, they start putting shovels in the ground, but their hope is to be able to start breaking ground on a construction facility in the first quarter of 2012.
And you don't think it's the people they hire, the 2,000 permanent people, are all going to be Chinese from China? They're going to hire locals somehow?
They're going to be Clark County residents is what they're going to be. You know, they're going to bring in some experts, certainly some scientists that work for ENN or stationed in Beijing and actually develop the plant and the processes and so forth. But the workers, the day-to-day workers, both the construction and the ongoing manufacturing jobs, are going to be Clark County residents.
Have you, either of you, Tom, or you, thought about how, I mean, obviously in Laughlin's going to be, it's going to be like a, you know, one of these overnight successes, but how is it going to affect up here, up in Las Vegas?
Well, Laughlin's had that a couple times. They had a big boom in the late 70s, early 80s, and there was all this housing being built. As land got released, the big problem was getting the federal government to release the land, because you had Don Laughlin at his little old riverside down on the river. And so when the resorts went in there, starting to get to the tourist groups and getting the road improvements done on the Needles Highway and things, you had a big boom. One of the problems with that is because the builders to come down there, housing was higher than what most of the jobs in that area, gaming and so forth, could afford, and so they had to work on that. This would be another boom. These are going to be some pretty good construction workers. I worked in Laughlin one summer at the power plant down there many years ago, and a lot of the guys stayed over Monday through Friday over in Bullhead City across the border in trailer parks because of the lack of housing over there. So that's the multiplier that Steve's working so hard for down there, is because you're going to create economic development in that Laughlin community that's going to bring housing and businesses and jobs related to those workers that are going to be working there, and it wind up staying there. So you're going to add, you know, easily in 4 or 5 years, you could add 8,000 to 10,000 people to that population area just based on this one huge project.
Like a modern day Hoover Dam project?
Not quite that.
I don't think it's quite that big, but I think it'll have a longer effect than Hoover Dam did. I mean, Hoover Dam had a lot of construction jobs, but there wasn't as much that stayed with Hoover Dam. What's happened, and I went down and had a town hall meeting or a Laughlin meeting regarding this, the gal that runs a local restaurant in the coffee shop now realizes that she's going to have a couple thousand construction workers stopping in to get, you know, eggs and coffee in the morning. And the guy who runs the saloon is hoping that they'll come there and have a beer after work before they head out, you know, in for the night. And a few of the guys have talked about potentially, you know, maybe joining together, because a lot of these workers, we don't have this many skilled tradespeople in Laughlin. So a lot of these folks are going to have to be traveling from what we call Clark County up here to get down there. Now, whether they do that on a daily basis, or as Tom says, they go together and they rent a room in the Colorado Bell or in the Edgewater and share it for the couple of days during the week and then come back on Friday night is up to them. But there's going to create a lot more demand for everything down there. And once the residents stay, one thing leads to another. If you got a job and you got a paycheck, you can afford to take your family out to eat. You can afford to buy them a new shirt and a pair of shoes so that then that store can open up. And it creates more and more jobs. Not to count, like I said, the jobs they're going to come from bringing the infrastructure in. I mean, you're talking a lot of money to move that infrastructure out to this property.
Sounds exciting. And you think, but I mean, this could happen very quickly. And you met again with the company people, or were you able to meet with them today?
I met with their representatives today. We had them on the phone. I've met with the company people directly from Beijing. They brought an interpreter in to make it so that I could understand and they could understand. They're serious about doing this, and they're committed to the project. It's not one of these, you know, pipe dreams and, you know, wishing a prayer. It's reality. So it's really, really exciting. It's just a question of how quickly we can get it going, because I can tell you the only thing that's going to solve the economic situation, the recession we're facing here, is jobs. We need to put people back to work. While we talk about unemployment being 14, 15, 16%, Joe, in the trades, it's 40 and 50 and 60%, these guys are telling me. Some of them haven't been to work, and Tom's been in the trade. Some of these guys haven't been to work in 2-3 years.
Yeah.
There is just no jobs available. So they are really, really excited about this, the opportunity to be able to go to work and support their families.
Let's turn the corner a little bit. I wrote a story for tomorrow. I've got a story about North Las Vegas and potential remedies, because the Department of Taxation is coming to North Las Vegas tomorrow night to talk to them about what would happen if taxation, which I've described on this show before, is like a big unfeeling robot. If they have to come in and fix their finances there, they don't care how they do it, who gets hurt, what they have to raise. They're just going to fix the situation there. And the county has sort of a tussle with North Las Vegas regarding the Sloan Channel. And I guess kind of the question I had for both of you is, why not just let them dump their treated wastewater into that channel, save them a bunch of money, help them get out of this process, out of this fiscal mess? Because if you don't, a lot of their mess is going to become the county's mess with Metro, fire department, shared services. It's going to end up costing the county as well. Who wants to take that?
Well, I can go ahead and start. I think it's NRS 354 that where the state can come in and take over a municipality for their being insolvent. And North Las Vegas has made several mistakes over several years, and you've written about that recently as well, that whether or not they run water down that Sloan Channel is not going to impact or benefit or detriment their financial woes. You know, they've got a city hall that they could mothball. They've got that sewer plant that they could downsize, not open, not operate. They got a lot of opportunities they could do things. They have cut down to a skeleton crew. Just the other night, about 10:30, I was at Arby's grabbing a sandwich, and I seen all these cops running down Craig Road, and I'm going down Craig Road now anyway. Well, they kept going clear down to MLK and Craig Road, four Metro cops, because there was North Las Vegas cops there, and there weren't any. I pulled into the drugstore and watched for a few minutes and drove back up to the house. They're already doing a lot of shared services. As far as the impact of the county, when the state comes in, the first thing they're going to do, it's a catch-22, but the benefit of the state coming into North Las Vegas, one, is that they would be able to go renegotiate their bond debt. The state would have more ability than North Las Vegas and more power than North Las Vegas to reorganize their debt, to put the priorities in order.
To lower their yearly monthly payments that they have to make on their
debt. To lower their outgo for bonds on their city hall, on their infrastructures that they built, some of the park construction they've been doing and some of the other things, including the sewer plant and the ongoing construction on the rec center at Nellis Air Force Base that they're building. You know, I mean, all these little frills and thrills that they thought they were just really, you know, cutting a fat hog with. The downside is that the property owners, and I've got three properties in North Las Vegas, the property tax owners are going to see a hell of an increase in taxes. It can go to the cap, okay, which means a bunch of property taxes that have been going down for the last 4 or 5 years would all of a sudden see a hell of a spike, which would be detrimental to most of the homeowners there. Then on top of that, just under that statute, if the state determined that North Las Vegas couldn't come out of it and survive, the options would be, as North Las Vegas and Las Vegas have already met on shared services. Las Vegas, and I've talked to Betsy Fretwell a year and a half ago about doing this in Virginia and Georgia and them. Las Vegas and Clark County, neither one want North Las Vegas because they don't want that debt. If the state comes in, they come in for at least 3 years and they reorganize their debt. If they can't survive that reorganization, the legislature could pull their charter as a city, just like Gabs become unincorporated up in Central Nevada, which is a much smaller town, but similar situation. They couldn't afford to maintain themselves. So those are some of the options.
Well, what happens then? Do they become part of unincorporated Clark County?
They could become unincorporated Clark County, or they could cut a deal with Las Vegas to have Las Vegas annex them, which has been discussed many times as well.
Now, again, this is all hypothetical, Steve, one thing I wanted to ask about was he said he saw these Metro police officers flying in North Las Vegas. Right. You're on Metro's Fiscal Affairs Committee. Right. Have you heard that Metro's doing more shared servicing or doing any that kind of stuff?
I have heard that rumor, Joe, and I did confront Metro. I called up Metro. The sheriff was in Washington at a conference. I spoke to the undersheriff, and they assured me that Metro is not expending any resources. We're doing no more now than we were 6 months ago in terms of providing services, that we're still a subsequent provider. It's first responder always when you're on the borders, whether it's police or fire. But we're not patrolling North Las Vegas in so much as it's increasing the burden on Clark County to take care of North Las Vegas. But I think what Tom said is absolutely true. North Las Vegas, whether you call them bad decisions with City Hall and the wastewater plant and the gymnasium or everything aligning up perfectly wrong for them, the fact is that they've got to get a handle on their debt situation, and I don't think that they've quite stepped up to the plate to do that yet. And if they don't do it very, very quickly, the state's going to come in and do it for them. Now, I did read into paper today in your paper that, you know, that apparently the firefighters did make a considerable concession on some of their salaries, and, you know, which is a good thing, that I think the labor partners have stepped up. Now I think it's up to the mayor and the city council to follow and take the lead. And if that means they got to sell City Hall and rent it back, if they got to, there's creative ways. You can extend this debt out a little bit further. You can back in. Now, usually when you borrow this money, you back load a lot of the first couple of years' interest on this stuff. I don't know if North Las Vegas did that, and now they're not as credit worthy as they were a few years ago. But they need to explore quickly what their options are in terms of dealing with this financial problem. And I don't see them moving quick enough, at least as far as I'm concerned. I think they need to move much, much quicker and decide how they're going to get out of this. Because every day that goes by and every week, they're spending more and more money and getting further and further behind the eight ball here, and that's not positive.
And the firefighters stepped up and gave another concession. They have given several. And it's kind of, as Steve said, they should have sped it up. The firefighters offered a concession in February, and the council waited to May to vote on it. They held it up. I think for political reasons, more than logical reasons over there from that council. But there's the mutual aid agreements for public, for police and fire. And, between Clark County and Las Vegas, I'm told that we're going over there more and more. The same with Metro going, seeing incidents of Metro going in there more often. And when they've laid off so many people and left positions open, both in fire and police, part of their overtime issue on the fire department was not hiring. The same that we had at the county a few years ago was part of it was not hiring and our high benefits. And the same with on the police side. They've laid off just a few months ago almost 200 more employees at North Las Vegas. So they're a skeleton crew. They've got one of the highest property taxes already in the state, and they've got a pilt tax, which is really a hidden tax on the utilities. So their sewer rates are double what anybody else is. And it's a different kind of a sewer system than Las Vegas, Clark County, and Henderson have, because they charge based on how much water goes into the house, on how they charge the sewer coming back out. Well, with so many empty homes, they're not selling as much water. So now their rates are going to go down on their sewer. And a chunk of that sewer money was going, I think 32% was going in their general fund.
Okay.
So they've hurt themselves in a lot of ways.
I wanted to touch real briefly. We got a little bit of time left. Were you surprised, Steve, since you're the one who instigated the letter, that the governor didn't act affirmatively and say, yeah, let's give, 102 million back to Clark County that it diverted from the county over the last 2 years and $25 million back to Washoe County?
Well, I didn't really expect him to send a check the next day. It would have been nice, an ideal situation. I don't think he has the money to send right back to us. I think we've got the discussion going. We've got their attention. And I think we need to sit down, and I think we could work out some type of structure, some type of agreement, hopefully in settlement, where this could be credited back to us over a period of time, not entirely over 1 year. The last thing I want to do is hurt education any more than it's already been hurt.
Are you hearing it's going towards that direction, or are you just saying that's
what
you'd
like? No, I'm just saying that. I mean, ultimately, will it be decided by a court? Quite possibly. It might be. I would hope it wouldn't get that far, and I don't know how far back everybody's going to be able to go in terms of this. So sometimes it's easier for the two parties to sit down and negotiate something out as opposed to going to court, because you stand the risk and lose it all when you go to court. So I would be open to that. The Clean Water Coalition decision, I read it, was clear to me that this was a similar type situation, and the legislature should not have diverted those funds. And because of that, residents of Clark County suffered and paid money that went to the state and was used in other areas. I don't want to hurt the state any more than they're already suffering, but I think at some point the state's going to have to step up and say, we got a revenue shortfall and an expense excess. How do we address this? And taking money from Clark and or Washoe is not the way to solve it. They need to address the fundamental problem that they have, and I didn't see that happen.
Well, as soon as that CWC case came out, I had some legislators that I spoke to that said, hey, you know what, Tommy, be careful. Don't get us in court too deep and too rapid, because we'll find a way to get your money back. And it's going to have to be over a time period. But the same cycle that took place in the late 80s and early 90s when we was growing so fast. And that's when those like Myrna Williams and them that were in the legislature from Clark County went for the fair share bill and worked to make sure that it got turned back around, so that Clark County, things were more accountable. And what ended up, Washoe and Carson City got the net gains out of that deal still. And so Steve's absolutely right that we should negotiate a way to get credits back, to get recovery of those tax dollars, the portion that they took unfairly.
Oh, I'm surprised you guys are agreeing on this stuff.
You've brought us together, Joe. You're like the Switzerland of talk show hosts.
Steve and I get along a whole lot. Both of us been around long enough to know that you never get ahead trying to get even. So when we disagree on something, once that vote's cast, you move on.
Well, here's one. Maybe I don't know if you'll disagree about this or not, but what do you think about the shooting range and how that's all going? Steve,
I think
is that place finally paying for itself?
No. And I don't think Tom will argue that paying for itself. It's not. I think that we came up with a plan, or they came up with a plan before I got there, that the shooting park would at some point.
Wait, it's a shooting range.
I apologize. It's a shooting range, Joe. You're right. That the shooting range would approach breaking even. It hasn't gotten there. Now, will it get there? There's been a lot of changes made out there with some new, calling it a range. It's under another department now. They're supposedly getting some increased activity from some of this. The county, and I don't think anyone can disagree, simply cannot afford to subsidize that for $60,000, $70,000 a month forever. It's not going to work. Now, whether that means you have to, and I've never advocated shutting it down. I've advocated coming up with another plan. Does that mean, I mean, we had the shooting range that you wrote an article, the shooting park that you wrote an article about, the pro-shooting, pro-gun club out in Boulder City.
With the giant sign.
With the giant sign on the side of the hill, right, yeah. That somehow they managed to make money. Now, I don't know how they do it, if it's because they pay less, if it's because they attract more people. But we need to explore how to make the shooting range that the county owns make a profit or come closer to breaking even. It's like a golf courses. You know, we've outsourced those things. I don't know if it's possible, but we need to get in that, you know, address that regard because we can't simply afford to keep subsidizing
but
it forever.
You said that for the last 2 or 3 years. So, Tom, how is that going to happen
well,
now?
The income's up, I think, over 10 or 11% from what it was just a few months ago. We've been changing managers. I believe, and I've been involved in this since 1999 when I was in the legislature getting this thing off the ground. And the obstacles put in front of it by people inside Clark County, and this I strongly believe there have actually been people inside of Clark County envious of the dollars, of SNPLA dollars going to that shooting range. And I like to tease Steve whenever he says, well, we can't pay $60,000, $70,000 a month there. Well, hell, we're subsidizing Sunset Park 2-1 what we subsidize the shooting range, you know, and we're just now spending about $9 million on an improvement at Sunset Park. I love Sunset Park because I was there when it was J.K. Housel's horse ranch, so I've been here a while. But the shooting range has the opportunity. Construction's dead, but when it comes back, there's an opportunity to sell gravel and sand out of it, and there's an opportunity for naming rights. And we've even got some people, we've got a local wealthy person that grew up in Nevada interested in coming out there and putting some dollars down. In fact, a couple of them right here in Southern Nevada.
Who are they?
We've got some other opportunities that there's a company that'd like to come in there and do bullet manufacturing on the property. There's some restrictions from the Congressional Act that gave the land to us, but that's not near the burden that we've had. When you got to bring somebody that's a swimming instructor, and I'll use that because swimming was talked about today, to come out and show people how to use guns versus there was so much conflict with the former manager out there, Don Turner, who come from Ben Avery, the currently one of the best shooting ranges in the world. He operated it successfully. We tied his hands out here. We had and I'll call him an idiot, but there's an employee at the County Parks Department that interfered with this man so much, trying to make him follow personnel directions and park policy that had nothing to do with
that. That would be the county idiot. The county idiot.
I'm not going to name him.
All right.
But we had people interfering with this guy to the point where we had to get him. It took months to get him removed. It's taken months to get people out of the way so it can grow. We've got Steve Carmichael that runs the Las Vegas Gun Club over there. He's doing a great job of, and it's like taking a bad business. You know, if you open a business and it just keeps growing, that's one thing. But you open a business and you stumble. They didn't have bullets to sell. They didn't have targets to sell. I mean, the purchasing department screwed us. I mean, there's several departments in the county that kept us from being successful.
Okay. I don't think Steve would agree with your comparison of the shooting range to Sunset Park, but we got to wrap this up. This has been an interesting.
He's trying to get an argument, isn't he?
I really want to.
He's out of time.
I want more time. We're going to wrap up this edition of the Political Roundtable with the Las Vegas Sun. Thanks.
Joe, thanks for inviting
us. Steve Sislak.
It was good, Joe. Thanks.
Tom
Collins,
appreciate you guys for being here.